voice of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it am talking about. And we're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online with live streaming video of our show at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, watch our video cast, listen to our thousands of hours of archive material, listen to our Milwaukee Lion podcast, watch our other special event videos and special event interviews, and so on and so forth. We also have our rants now. We are posting our rants on demand for our backstage pass viewers. These are our pre-show rants. So these are things that you don't hear on the radio show. And why is that? Bud, Robert?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you said F and everything.
Yeah, you used a dirty word.
Yeah, okay. So in any event...
Well, you do.
Yeah, I know that. No, you're right. You know, it sounded a little...
You used dirty words.
Anyway,
Well, you do.
All right. So that's what we do. And we're also going to be posting video versions for free, a couple of them on YouTube. Not a lot, but a few. On YouTube, as well as, of course, we have our podcasts, which are available to you 3 days a week. We drop a podcast on you, and we just had episode 28 on Thursday. Coming up here is Friday, and episode 29 right around the corner. All right, welcome back to the show. Pick a year, Bud or Robert. Pick a year between from 1945 to 2008.
Why?
Because I want to pick a year for the front page of the New York Times.
You do it.
All right, 1931.
Pick a year.
No, man, it's a 1945.
Oh.
Pick a year between 1945 and 2008.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So, you know, just it's like a number between 1945 and 2008.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really a number. It's 1945.
It was a number. It would be 1,945.
Yeah, why don't they call it that?
I don't know, guys. Just pick a number between 1945 and 2008. Or, if you will, 1,945 and 2008.
Okay, so are those years?
Yes, they're years. I want to pick a year for the New York Times.
What flag is that?
What? That's Japan.
Yeah?
Yeah, they got the...
Are you guys listening to me, or are you watching the... Oh, look at that. That's Abbey Road. That's Abbey Road. And there's a guy doing a, look at that, London NBC 4 News. That's the guy for channel, did you see where that guy's standing there?
What?
That's Abbey Road. You see that walkway? He's pointing to the Abbey Road walkway that the Beatles walked across for their album cover. Now, you see how it curves there, and it goes into kind of almost like a blind curve there?
Yeah.
People coming up around that curve, like those buses, could not see, and still can't really see, the people walking on that crosswalk. And so, over the years, people have been killed on that crosswalk, reenacting, or I should say, recreating the cover of the Beatles album.
Yeah, you told that story already.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling it again. How about that, okay? Don't tell me whether I told it again. Wow, Phil, that's great.
Well, but I mean...
You know what I'm saying? A little showmanship here? There may be people out there that haven't heard the story before.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not sitting here doing my show for you guys. I'm doing my show for people out there, understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, guys, that people walk across that crosswalk, and they get killed. They get run over by trucks and by buses.
Hey, that's great.
What are you applauding for, you idiot?
Oh, I'm sorry.
They get run over by trucks and buses.
Yeah, that I didn't know that, Phil. That's very... interesting what you said.
Yeah, I want to learn more about it. Can I look it up on Dinktopedia or whatever?
Wikipedia, Bud? You mean Wikipedia?
Oh, yeah, I mean Wikipedia.
No, or maybe, I don't know.
Well, what kind of answer is that?
Don't worry about it.
I mean, I'm sorry.
People have been run over by buses. Hey!
I didn't know what kind of reaction you wanted.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that when someone gets hit and run over by a bus, you don't applaud. Okay? All right, folks. Anyway, welcome to our news and information hour here. I just took all kinds of stuff and scrumpled it up here. And didn't mean to do that. All right, the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, this is not the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a trade, and it was a pretty big trade. A trade that was affected for... Dwight Howard, the Los Angeles Lakers, if you will, have concluded this trade, citing people with direct knowledge of the trade talks. ESPN and other news organizations reported Thursday night that a four-team blockbuster trade will send Dwight Howard to the Los Angeles Lakers, and they are saying it is complete pending NBA approval.
Yeah, that's great. We find that gets screwed over about the last time.
Right. Well, that whole whatever that deal was, that we were supposed to get that one guy and we didn't get that one guy. What the hell was that anyway, man? It was, was LeBron? It had something to do with LeBron James, or maybe it was somebody else, but...
All I know, man, is that we finally got a break.
I was with the Hornets. I know that. It was with the New Orleans Hornets in the league. And folks, I'm just giving you this. We're not going to belabor the L.A. Lakers stuff because it's very local. But according to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith, he was talking with Dwight Howard. He said, quote, he's ecstatic, just incredibly happy to be moving on to the Lakers and moving out of Orlando. Gee, I wonder if that's a slam on the Orlando Magic.
Sounds like it to me.
He's anxious to put the events of the past behind him. His attitude is this is second home to him already because Howard has spent time in Los Angeles rehabilitating his back. One of the things he told me, I can assure you, I'm happy to be here. The trade is set to go down like this, ESPN reports. The Lakers will receive Howard from the Orlando Magic. Now, this is a four-team trade.
Yeah, let me write this down.
You don't have to write it down, bud.
Well, I want to get it right.
All right. The Lakers will receive Howard from the Orlando Magic. The Philadelphia 76ers will receive Laker center Andrew Bynum and Magic guard Jason Richardson. The Denver Nuggets will receive 76er guard Andre Iguodala, and the Magic will get Nuggets guard Afron Aflilo. I'm sorry, I don't know the name. And forward Al Harrington.
Who the guy's name? Aaron Aflilo?
Aaron Aflilo.
Aaron Aflalo. I don't know. And forward Al Harrington. 76er center Nikola Vucevic. And forward Maurice Harkless. And one protected future draft round pick. First round pick from each of the other three teams. I have no idea what I just said.
Me neither.
And I don't think anybody listening understands it. But it is a complicated four-team trade. The Lakers have a long history of acquiring elite centers. And this is fascinating to me only because of my, following the team for years. But to give an example here, the Lakers got Wilt Chamberlain in 1976 from the Sixers for three players. This is who were not better than Wilt Chamberlain. I don't know, I recognize that there were three players that weren't better than Wilt Chamberlain, but what is that supposed to mean anyway?
Well, they weren't better than Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, what kind of players were they, man? What do you mean better than Wilt Chamberlain? Were they guards? They probably were guards or forwards. And who the hell was better than Wilt Chamberlain those days? It depended on the position.
Jerry West.
Jerry West was a guard. In any event, then in 1975, they got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks for four players. They signed Shaquille O'Neal away from the Magic in 1996. O'Neal was a free agent that was following the Magic going to the finals against the Houston Rockets. They traded for Pau Gasol in 2008, sending the Memphis Grizzlies three players. And finally, now they get Dwight Howard. Now, there's a difference between this trade and maybe Gasol and the other ones that we're talking about. Jerry West pulled a trigger on those, and now we have Mitch Kupchak, but way to do it, Mitch. All right, that's enough about the Lakers.
Why don't we talk more about them?
I don't want to talk about the Lakers because it sounds like we're doing a local sports show. Oh, let's see what else here. The modern fallacy. We got a couple of things here. Darlene Cates, who starred opposite Johnny Depp and Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, sheds a major weight. Take a look at her now. The Modern Family star oozes sex appeal in a steamy photo shoot for Allure. Like it or not, Honey Boo Boo and her family are here to stay as the premiere of their show attracted 2.2 million viewers last night and was number one in all ad-supported cable in its time period among women, 25-52. Women 18 to 39 years of age, and women 18 to 34 years of age. Now, when they say ad-supported cable, what that means is essentially all those channels that are not channels 2 through 13. Channels 2 through 13 are the traditional over-the-air, or what we used to call VHF, or technically non-cable channels, because maybe they're all considered cable now because you do have to have a box, a converter box, to get any kind of signal. There's no such thing as just getting an analog signal anymore.
Yeah, everything is digital now.
All right. So, but in any event, over the ad-supported cable would be any cable that has commercials.
Is that HBO?
No. Does HBO have commercials?
Yeah.
What commercials does HBO have?
They had a commercial for Robert De Niro and his movie.
What movie?
But they have like a commercial for Robert De Niro on Tribeca Festival.
That's not a commercial. That's a promo, man. It's a promotion. You know the difference? You guys have worked in radio long enough. You know the difference between a commercial?
What? No.
A commercial is something you pay for. A promo is something the network throws in there as a promotional announcement. Not the same thing. All right. Anyway, Honey Boo Boo, she ain't no boo boo, man. Now, here's the thing. 2.2 million viewers was a very healthy debut, according to the story here, because it went up against the Olympics, and then it went up against Matthew Perry. And Matthew Perry and the Olympics pulled 28 million. Now, he held the audience. They had 28 million viewers for women's beach volleyball. Matthew Perry had 18.5 million viewers. Now, that's pretty decent, man. Held on to a nice big chunk of that audience. The question is he going to be able to... This is their question. The question now is whether or not viewers will come back when Go On makes its time period debut. I think they will, easily.
Why?
Because he was a former... Matthew Perry is a guy that you like to watch him. He's a funny guy, I think. He was on Friends. Everybody remembers that show. And they want to see some of that magic, you know, that funny stuff. You know, he was a funny guy. I think people will watch the show. I think they will.
Yeah, but he did another show and stunk it out.
Yeah, what was that one he did that stunk?
What do you mean the one he did that stunk?
He did one that stinked it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
You know, Bud, you're a grown guy. You know, he did one that stinked it out.
I mean it stank.
That stunk, if you want to use the word. And I don't like the word, okay? What do you mean he stunk?
Well, I mean, it went on the air and they had to pull it out.
Have we taken a break yet, Dan? I don't think we have. All right, let's take a break because I don't want to listen to these two idiots any longer than I have to.
Yeah, but what was the show he did that stinked?
I'm going to belt you if you say stinked one more time, man. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. Now I guess I better look up Matthew Perry's show so I don't have to hear Bud say it stinked it out. We'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I didn't mean to say that.
The Phil Henry Show.
I know,
Show.
You didn't say it. I'm sorry. Well, then use the right word.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our News and Information Hour. Margaret Gray going to join us here as we get a little bit of Olympic reporting in. I saw some interesting BMX. Margaret, did you see any of that?
I did see the BMX. It looks very competitive. It looks like it could be very dangerous. You know, as a mother of a 15-year-old boy, I can well imagine, Phil, Jason J. Delmonico watching the BMX competition from London and immediately saying to him, Mom, can I go get a mountain bike? Or, Mom, can I have this or that? So you, in a way, you know, I love the Olympics, but I worry about my son who is, you know, he's professionally, Jason J. is an actor. So if he goes out, and I'll be very blunt with you, Phil, if my son goes out and breaks his skull wide open on the pavement someplace, I am going to be mad. And let me quote Don Corleone in the movie The Godfather. This is Marlon Brando. I'm going to hold some of the people at this table responsible. And I'm going to talk to them, and it won't be for spitting on the sidewalk. See?
Well, I remember that line. I don't know. What does it have to do with Jason J. Delmonico?
What does it have to do with you?
What'd she say?
She wants to know what it has, or he wants to know what it has.
Can you talk to me, Margaret?
Yeah, no, Phil, what it has to do with Jason J. Delmonico is that the boy is sitting watching the Olympics, you know, to put a colloquial ethnic spin on it. And I don't say that with disrespect. I say that with great respect because, as a liberal, I like to feel I speak the language. But there is my son watching the Olympics, And
he's saying that out of respect, too, Phil. He's not.
Yeah, I get it, Frank. I get it. And it still sounds insulting.
What does?
Olympics.
I said I am a very well-known liberal, and I'm saying, oh, God. You know,
let's not argue one night, Margaret. Let's you and I sit down and talk very enjoyably about the Olympics and not have an argument.
I don't want to argue, Phil. I don't.
Then don't, you know, listen to the things I say and then say to Frank, hey, Frank, listen to this one. And, you know, it's like you're dealing, you know.
Well, all right. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, he's looking at me. What do you want me to do?
I'm sorry?
Frank's giving me the look like, now what did she say or he? What? Well, you know.
Will you talk to me, please?
All right, never mind.
You know, what is it with you guys? I get on the air with you, and now you and Frank are eyeballing each other, and...
Well, it's enjoyable for Frank to know what you say.
Oh, I'm that funny, huh?
You're entertaining.
Because I'm so dumb?
Well, you take a while to grasp some things. I'm talking, Frank. Don't bother me, Frank.
All right, well, looks like I got to get it done, then.
Then go ahead and get... Oh, God. Oh, I'm not even looking, Frank.
No.
What's he doing?
He unzipped his pants. He's looking at something on TV. I don't want to look.
Oh, my God. Would you have him leave the room?
Frank, go outside if you're going to do that.
Outside?
Yes. Go out onto the veranda, the patio. We have the pool lights on tonight.
All right, so you want me to sit around the pool and start paddling?
Would you please...
You have to go outside. All right. Jesus, he's shuffling outside with his pants down around his ankles.
You know, I want to say something to you, okay?
What?
I want to talk seriously for a moment. I think you need to get him into a psychiatrist.
Phil, the gender confusion...
No, it's not the gender confusion. I understand that that's a neurologic problem. But for any man to sit there and unzip his pants while you're on the air, and now he's shuffling outside with his pants down around his ankles, I think is real weird. I think the guy's got a mental problem.
Well, Phil, he's 75 years of age. There might be a little bit of... You know, I if you think Frank's crazy, no, he isn't. He's crazy like a fox. And
so he just feels free to pull his pants down right there in front of his wife?
I am his wife.
Okay, but even still, you know...
We've shared intimacies.
I know, I understand that, but even still, I mean, isn't there a modicum of behavior that one would observe, especially you're both very wealthy people, you've got a nice, beautiful home there.
No one is going to be coming through the first... I'm not expecting the Manson family tonight, all right? And to be honest with you, if the Manson family showed up, I think it would be one of the funniest things in the world for them to come... rolling in here with their knives and their witchcraft and their, you know, dye pig. And there's Frank with his pants down looking at Peggy Fleming.
What did
she say?
Never mind about him, okay? All right, so BMX.
Yes, the BMX was very good. But I wanted to mention one other thing, Phil.
All right.
You were talking tonight about, you said in a very ham-fisted way, honey boo-boo. Is the way you said it, and the pronunciation, Phil, and I'm very, very surprised that you weren't corrected, is honey boo-boo, and...
Well, okay, you know, I can't.
Phil, don't be so flustered. I'm trying to teach you something.
Okay, but you know what? I'm not in France. Why do we have to use the French pronunciation?
Because we are dealing with a family of rednecks. Isn't that right? Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
All right. They would like nothing better than to drag you, me, and everyone watching and listening right down into the slop and the mud and the filth that they live in. Wouldn't they?
Margaret.
Wouldn't they?
I don't know if they would or not.
Well, that's what they'd like. Now they've got their little beauty pageant, and they want everyone to wallow in the pig slop with them. Well, I, for one, will not wallow in the pig slop with the Thompson family, with Sugar Bear and Honey Boo Boo. Now, the pronunciation is Honey Boo Boo. And
that's the pronunciation.
Yes, when you apply the French lilt. And if you know anything about French...
Margaret, can I ask you something?
What?
I'm sorry to exasperate you. Do you speak French?
No, I don't. You don't have to speak French to give it the right... lilt. You understand?
He's talking about Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, I know, Frank. Thank you. Are you all done?
I took care of it.
So why don't you turn Honey Boo Boo on? We're going to look at Honey Boo Boo and see what...
All right, thank you very much.
Well, Phil, I have a lot more to say about...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we'll get into more discussions here of Honey Boo Boo.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. It's our, whatever the hell we call this, what's this, our...
It's called News and Information.
News and Information. All right. We were just checking out, did you find that stuff?
Yeah, I found out Matthew Perry before he done this one. I mean, he did a lot.
No, I know he's done a lot. We just wanted to remember the name of the show that Matthew Perry did, which was last year on ABC. It was called Mr. Sunshine. And it was a TV show about a bat. It's very interesting to know the premise of these different shows. And you may, probably this is something you guys don't think about. I don't blame you. I mean, I don't really think about it. But I just thought, because there's a lot of shows that, a lot of television shows. And there are a lot of television shows that might have been television shows and weren't. You know, they have what are called pilots. Now here, this was the premise of Mr. Sunshine. Where is it? Here it is. And this starred Matthew Perry in 2011. He stars as Ben Donovan, the self-involved manager of a second-rate San Diego sports arena who begins to reevaluate his life on his 40th birthday. All right. Now, it didn't succeed. It failed. I shouldn't say it failed. Somebody at the network said to take it off the air.
Yeah, ain't that a failure?
Not necessarily. Somebody said, take it off the air. Who knows? I mean, was it a failure? And everybody brings up Star Trek. Was that a failure?
What?
Oh, you guys don't even remember. They pulled Star Trek off the air after 3 years, and that was the end of that, and the thing goes on to become a multi-million-dollar franchise. Anyway, here's a cat who is the manager of a San Diego sports arena. Now, if you're asking me, I turned 40, and I don't remember reevaluating my life. I think I did it when I was 38 or 37, but beyond that, San Diego Sports Arena. It says a second-rate San Diego Sports Arena. Now, part of the funny thing of that show was that as the manager of this second-rate San Diego Sports Arena, he had to juggle when the hockey team was playing as opposed to when the basketball team was playing as opposed to when, you know, something else. And they had to juggle all of these different floors, for instance.
Yeah, they had like instead of a basketball court
on the ice.
Yeah, they had to make sure they had ice, and I think part of it, part of the funny part was if the basketball team showed up and they still had ice, or the hockey team shows up, you know, whatever. I mean, that doesn't exactly sound like a second rate. It sounds like a pretty successful sports arena, but he's the manager of that, which is funny enough, you know. And meanwhile, the guy's going through a life crisis at the age of 40. Then I guess that's the whole, what do you call that?
Human interest.
Yeah, it's the human interest part of that. So he's not only got his job, but he also has his life. So they've got these building blocks that they put into all of these shows. Now, here's this guy. He is going to be a guy the audience identifies with. Okay, who is he? Well, he's 40, and he's reevaluating his life. And what is his life? He manages a sports arena. And I guess it sucks. Now, a lot of guys in the world would probably think that's a cool job to have. I don't know. I'd like to take a shot at it. He's working alongside his boss and arena owner, Crystal, an attractive, powerful, and highly erratic woman. So are you digging that? She's the...
Wait a minute. That...
Of course. The woman who owns the sports arena, her name's Crystal, not Jane. Crystal, and she's attractive, powerful, and highly erratic. Then Alice, the cute, tomboyish marketing director, and Ben's friend with benefits... Okay.
What's that mean? He has sex with?
I guess. Alonzo is a former basketball player, handsome and unbelievably happy, and I'm sure he's white.
No, not with...
I understand.
But a name like Alonzo, man, he'd be black.
You think? I know. I was joking. Ben's assistant, Heather, pretty, sweet, but terrifying because she once lit a boyfriend on fire. That's pretty cool. Crystal's son, Roman, sweet-faced, clueless, and Ben's newest employee, and a hapless operations crew whom Ben refers to collectively as the Steves. Mr. Sunshine stars Matthew Perry as Ben, ba-ba-ba-boom, but Allison Janney from the West Wing as Crystal. Oh, okay, so the older, really attractive, you know, like...
No chance.
No chance he's going to have sex with her. Well, no. Maybe she flirts with him, but she's definitely the older, powerful, and attractive woman. Okay, cool. And then you have all these, I don't know. But I think this new one's going to work.
Why?
Because it's got a radio studio in it. And I think that if there's one surefire thing to put into any TV series that works, it's have a radio studio, have some guy on the radio being in the radio studio. And considering the fact that that's what I've been doing on television for the last three or four different jobs I had, why not hire me?
That one show you did?
When I was on The Unit, I played a radio station manager. When I did New Girl, I was a sports show host. I just did something else, and I did something else. Thank you.
No, you didn't. Modern Family?
Modern Family. I played Booker Bell, who was a radio guy. And then I know I did one other, so, you know, I'm very happy that I'm not typecast. I'm just joking. Of course I'd be typecast, because, you know.
Yeah, but at least that one you did on New Girl, that guy's, like, mentally disturbed.
Yeah, that's what you gotta play, a mentally disturbed guy.
Yeah, thank you very much, bud. That guy I played on New Girl, that Joe Napoli, I weighed 289 pounds when I did that character. Now I'm skinnied down, man, and I'll have even less weight. I don't know that it'll work, you know?
Why not?
Because I was a fat ass when I played that guy. Now I'm skinny.
Yeah, you could say the guy went on a diet.
Yeah, you could say he went on a diet. The character is an erratic, nutty guy, you know, and he's bugging Winston, you know, Lamorne Morris's character and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about all that stuff. All right, so good luck, Matthew Perry. We hope your show is a smashing, just a major hit, because the money that you're getting, the residuals from Friends, can't possibly be enough. Now then. So enough of that. A small NASA lander being tested for missions to the moon and other destinations beyond Earth crashed and burned after veering off course during a trial run at Kennedy Space Center on Thursday, according to officials of the U.S. Space Agency. There were no injuries after the prototype known as Morpheus burst into flames near the runway formerly used by NASA's space shuttles. The insect-like vehicle designed and built by engineers at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston had made several flights attached to a crane before Thursday's attempted free flight. Morpheus's engines, which burn liquid oxygen and methane, appeared to ignite as planned, lifting the 1,700-pound vehicle into the air. But a few seconds later, Morpheus rolled over on its side and plummeted to the ground. NASA video showed the vehicle engulfed in flames and then rocked by a spectacular explosion, presumably due to the fuel tank's rupturing.
There goes the space program. They want to shut it down.
Yeah, they always do that. They could have killed somebody.
What do you mean they're going to shut what down?
That space program.
No, they ain't going to shut the space program down.
No, I know they shouldn't, but they you know.
Yeah, they will, because they'll say that it could have killed somebody and cost too much.
They're not going to shut the space program down, man. They ain't going to do that.
Yeah, but look what happened.
You don't understand. This is part of science. This is the trial and error that goes into everything that is worth anything in life. Of course there's failures.
Well, I mean, it blew up and everything.
Who? Yes, it blew up. You're right, it blew up. Did it disappoint people? Sure it did. Do they wish it would have gone perfectly? Of course they did. But nothing goes perfect in this world all the time, and you have to have events like this. It helps you work out the problems. Nobody wants to have something blow up or not work right, but this is the process. You know, before we even launched a rocket to space, man, we had more rockets that were blowing up on the launch pad. They were going up about 2 feet and then crashing back down to Earth.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen the film?
I saw one of them did that. What it looked like. It's pretty cool. They went up into the...
All right, okay. Enough about what it looked like. The point is that this is what happens, man.
So you're saying that the shuttle ought to blow up some more people in it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Where did you get that weird idea?
Well, you see, those mistakes are good.
Bud,
I said nobody wants mistakes to happen. But if mistakes do happen, you got to learn from them. And in science, mistakes do happen. It's impossible to think that we were going to go to outer space and do any of the other things that we have done and not have things go wrong. It happens, and we get over it. That's what life is about. And I'm telling you, you guys really, this worries me, man, because, and it may not be true, but I can't imagine, I really don't think, I look at today's younger generation, young people coming up, I think they're amazing. I think young people, high school, college age, these are some great people that we got.
Yeah, but you think they're P.O.?
P.O.?
Yeah, you know, like...
No, I don't think that at all. I think I've seen some amazing people, man. Soldiers, young scholars. Look at those technicians, those young people that were with the Mars lander. But I don't want anybody to think that life doesn't have mistakes and doesn't involve mistakes, you know?
Well, if they blow up some more.
Yeah, well, whatever, bud. You're bugging me, man. Oh, God, are you bugging me. Anyway, Morpheus's engines, which burn liquid oxygen, so the whole thing blew up and the whole thing went to hell in a handcart, and they've said, okay, that's it. We don't want to go to outer space.
Yeah, I'll call it that.
Yeah. Project Morpheus, are you going to outer space? No, I'm going to outer space. Oh, you're testing that deodorant.
Yes.
Huh? Huh? You like it?
No, not really.
Better than anything you guys have said tonight. Way better. Where are you going testing that Airwick, man? I'm going to outer space. Right on. Project Morpheus began in partnership with a privately owned Armadillo Aerospace. Aha!
That's it, man. That's the culprit. Yeah, this ridiculous.
Which is developing reusable suborbital vehicles that take off and land vertically. Well, that one landed horizontally, so you're... NASA, which has spent about $7 million on the project, that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing, $7 million. I'm serious. That's nothing. Over the past 2.5 years, is interested in developing technologies that could be used to fly cargo to the moon and other future missions beyond Earth orbit. Now, you know that company out there in Manhattan Beach, they just delivered supplies to the space station using a robot ship. I believe it came back and they did a soft landing. Am I right or am I wrong about that? But that was a major success. And it was one that was done by a private company out here. They launched the rocket themselves. I don't know. They might have used government facilities to send the rocket into space, but they built, designed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and got the contract, and it was a private concern delivering the supplies to the space station. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. A tremendous achievement, just a tremendous achievement. Project Morpheus was an example of what the former project manager called Home Depot engineering, low-budget projects that use existing resources and partner with non-traditional aerospace companies. The Morpheus lander is kind of our poster child. It's one of our first attempts to do these kinds of projects. They'll keep on going.
Yeah, they'll give up, though.
No, they won't give up, man. What the hell kind of guys would they be if they gave up?
Oh, yeah, it's broken. I better just stop doing it.
Well, yeah, sure. That's what we do with life, huh? Oh, gee, the Morpheus lander, it went on its side. I don't want to do this anymore. Bud, this is the space program. It's not like we're, you know, making mud pies out front, okay? And we're bored, and now we want to go in and get a cheese puff.
Well,
what? They're going to keep at it until they get it right, or until they say, this is not cost-effective, let's try something else. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Speaking of not wanting to do it anymore, I'm so sick and tired of doing this show today. I'm kidding. I'm having a good time. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry
Show.
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, after the show, don't forget, we'll be posting our show log at philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow, we've got another podcast dropping. We had today's podcast, which is a Milwaukee Lion game, the 1979 championship game with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. And tomorrow, another podcast. Let's go to the phones here. We got Ray back with us in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Phil. The lady that you had on a moment ago, and I had called earlier.
I know.
I had called earlier to talk to the woman and gentleman when they were talking about this beauty pageant with this child. I also indicated to your phone screener that I had a daughter that competed in those.
See, that wasn't clear, and I apologize to you, sir. That's my fault. It was very clear to the screener that you had a daughter in those beauty pageants. We didn't know here on the air.
No, I had made it very clear to him that that's what I did. Now, I'm calling back your program because I heard something about a half an hour ago that this seems to be a theme on your program tonight, and the disrespect that is given to very hardworking parents and the kids that are in these pageants. And if you'll pardon me, Mr. Henry, I have an aviary in the back of my property here, and I'm feeding some of the birds that we have here. It is very late at night, but they are up, and birds will be up sometimes if they're hungry, so I hope you don't mind.
No, sir, you're in an aviary.
I'm in the aviary that we have on the far corner of our property. We've got two of them, actually, and I'm actually feeding. How are you? Hello. Here you go. We have...
What kind of birds, sir?
If you don't mind, I'd like that to be... I'd rather not say, and it isn't because of anything other than... In the world of competitive bird raising, you don't like to share that information?
Competitive bird raising? I've never heard of that.
Well, again, if you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it, okay? That's all right with you?
That's fine, yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. A lady was on your program about a half an hour ago, and I almost couldn't believe my ears when I heard her use the phrase, honey baboon.
Honey baboo.
Honey baboon, yeah.
No, honey baboo.
Well, I heard the woman distinctly use the word baboon in reference to these children that are working very hard to be winners of these pageants, and to call a baby... It's part and parcel. Hold on. Hello. I've got vultures here. I'll give you that much. I've got vultures. And
you have vultures in that aviary?
No, I have vultures in my bedroom, and they're watching TV. Yes, they're in an aviary.
Okay, sir. You're the guy bringing it up.
Well, you wanted to know what kind of birds I raise. Now,
Margaret Gray was the woman that was on the show. She did not say honey baboon. She said honey baboo because she said that's the proper pronunciation.
Said the what?
She said that's the proper pronunciation.
The proper pronunciation is honey boo-boo. It's not honey baboo. And what I heard made me sick to my stomach. Sick to hear the woman say that. Now, I'd like to call back tomorrow night.
No, you've called back twice in one night. I thought it would be worth it, and it's not. And
well, I think it was worth it.
Well, if you're there feeding your birds and you're talking to me and you got upset about something that you heard and you didn't really hear it, what?
Yeah, Harvey Wireman.
Hold on for a minute. Harvey? Harvey Wireman, he's an attorney.
I'm not impressed with attorneys.
Hold on, I'm not... Harvey, how are you? Harvey, how are you?
Henry.
Yes, this is Phil, Harvey.
Okay, Phil, you on the air right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. I got a call from the Grays. I got a call from Frank Gray.
Should I hold, Mr. Henry?
Hold on, yeah.
And you got another phone call on there?
Yeah, I've got a gentleman, but I'm taking your call because I thought you were referencing this.
I'm referencing Frank Gray called and said that his wife is listening right now, Margaret, and she heard a guy call her a baboon. And
I did not call the woman a baboon. I'm the gentleman, okay?
The baboon, and wants to have a retraction. I said, the only guy would be you, right?
No, I got a caller right now.
And so I said, I'll try to get you to retract, saying...
I've got a caller on right now.
Saying baboon.
I'm the guy that said baboon. All right?
So I'm calling from holding for Phil Henry.
No, I'm the guy that said baboon.
Harvey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, Phil. I just got a call from Frank Gray.
No, you already told me.
Okay, and Margaret says that she'd like you to retract referring to her as an ape. you know, as a hairy ape, you know, as the missing link or something.
No, sir, my name is Ray Boring. I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm the one that called her a baboon.
The hairy ape was a novel, you know.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Do you know that I have a caller on the line?
All right, well, I'll call back later if you would.
No, this is the guy that said she is a, he didn't call her anything.
Did you call her? Who are you? Are you talking to me, sir? I don't know who I'm talking to. Who are you?
Who are you talking to?
You.
I'm Phil Hendry.
All right, well, then why don't you say so?
Oh, man.
You know, don't old man me, Phil, because you could have a libel action. Did you call Margaret Gray a greasy, stinking ape, or didn't you?
I called her a baboon. I mean, about...
Who said baboon?
I did.
Is that you, Phil?
No, that's one of my callers.
It's one of the... Well, if it's one of the voices you're doing, I don't think it's very funny. Now, somebody said, get your cheap, stinking, dirty ape paws off of me.
That was Charlton Heston.
Great. I win the scavenger hunt. Now...
Get rid of him, will you? The Phil Hendry Show, you know, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Is this... Hi.
Phil Hendry.
Charlton Heston, right? Yeah, I got that.